as we prepare. Look at the screen, if you would. You don't have to worry about, well, you can open your Bibles. That's good. Usually we do. But for today, I need you to look at the screen. And I want you to look at these verses of Scripture. Very, very important. For by your words you will be what? Or by your words you will be condemned. Matthew 12:37. Now, go to the next slide. Proverbs 18:12. Death and life are in the what? The power of the? And they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Wow. Whatever you say, you're going to eat the fruit of it. Good or bad, we're going to eat the fruit of it. Father, we pray for your divine power and presence to be with us as we share the word today. May you be praised and honored by the words that we declare. And Lord, we pray for your love and your mercy to be shown upon each and every person who hears this truth today. In Jesus' name, amen. Turn to somebody and say, hold that tongue. I don't want anyone talking during the sermon. All right, now, nobody will be talking, right? Hold that tongue. I have a question for you. I want to make a statement first before I ask you the question. But sticks and stones will break my bones, but names will never hurt me. How many of you could say to me that you agree with that statement? Put your hand up if you agree. Sticks and stones will break my bones, but names will never hurt me. If you agree with me, do you agree with that statement? You don't agree with it. Those of you that disagree with it, put your hand up. How many of you don't have a comment either way? You don't know which way to vote, do you? Sticks and stones will break my bones, but names will never hurt me. Let me tell you, everything that comes out of your mouth or my mouth can hurt or heal whomever you're talking to, right? Praise the Lord. On the other hand, you may also hear compliments from people, right? Oh my goodness, this is one of the greatest things in all the world. Hear somebody say, what a great job. I am proud of you. Way to go. You're awesome. I thank God for you. How many words do you hear during the week like that? Praise the Lord. You're a talented person. I thank God for you. Wow, you could have changed a person's life by those few words that you shared. Isn't that awesome? You have the power in your tongue to change a life for the positive. I'll never forget my father's youth pastor saying to me, John, did you ever think about going into ministry? That clicked it right there. Bang, it was done, said. That's all he had to say. Unbelievable. I'll never forget Reginald Stone, who was one of our missionaries, and you guys, many of you know him well. He was after me for 10 years, to pursue my education by going to seminary. He kept after me. It took 10 years, but I finally did it because he was an encourager. I mean, I don't know about you, but I run into a few people here and there that are very good at encouraging others, and you need to thank God for them, right? But we run into people who are less than encouragers. They put you down, and they literally beat you up by the words they share. Scripture has a lot to say about words and how we use them, either for good or negative consequences. Proverbs 6:2 says, thou art snared with the words of thy mouth. Thou art taken with the words of thy mouth. Proverbs 12:13, an evil man is trapped by his sinful talk, but a righteous man escapes what? Trouble. Proverbs 12:18 says, the tongue of the wise brings healing. The tongue of the wise brings healing. What people say can make a difference between success or failure, between good or bad consequences. Productive words can bear good fruit. They bear great harvest. Fruit or harvest in Scripture usually has a good connotation. For example, the Scripture says, from the fruit of his mouth, a man's stomach is filled. With the harvest from his lips, he is satisfied. Wow, he is satisfied. Now, I believe that many, many Christians are living defeated lives because of their words. Have you become snared by what comes out of your mouth? Do you talk negatively about your health? Do you talk negatively about your job? Don't answer that out loud. Do you talk negatively about your finances? Do you talk negatively about your families? And the time can go on and on and on. And the devil delights to get us into a downward spiral. He wants us, he is after us, to try to distort our thinking and to get us into negative talk. We can retrain our mouth to speak better words. Believe me, we can retrain our mouth to speak better words. You have the choice of the words you live by. In Romans, the Apostle Paul says in Romans 10, verse 8, the word is near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith that we are proclaiming. We have been given the authority to speak God's word. We have that authority to speak God's word in his name. Now, in order to help us to speak that power into our lives, what I've titled this message, The Power of Our Lives, understanding that if we want that power, there are two questions I need to ask you. And here's the first one. What does the Bible teach us concerning speaking the power into our lives? How do we speak power into our lives? Number one, our words must be action-oriented. Our words must be action-oriented. How did God use words to bring about good? Well, in Genesis chapter 1, actually, in fact, you're going to learn this in Brian's class. You're going to learn a lot about words and what we say and the authority we have in words and how words, I mean, you think two or three sermons are going to teach you a little bit about what the Word of God says about words. It's very little. There is a ton of message after message after message that can be spoken concerning the words and how we have the authority to speak God's power in our life. But in Genesis 1, verse 3, what did God say? Let there be light, and there was what? Light, the spoken word. Let the land produce vegetation, and it was so in Genesis chapter 1. God spoke the word. He spoke life into existence through the power of the word. Now, how about Jesus? He uses words productively in the New Testament, especially in the healing miracles. Jesus spoke words with authority to the man with leprosy. He said, be what? Clean. To the man with the evil spirit, be quiet, come out of him. He spoke the words. To the deaf man, he said, be open. The man's ears were opened, and his tongue, the Bible says, was loosed. In Mark's gospel, you see, to the storm, he said, be still or be quiet. And the wind died down, and it was completely calm. In Mark's gospel, chapter 4. Again, Jesus spoke words after words after words that were the authority that he had. He taught his disciples about the power of words. One day they're walking along the road and he curses a fig tree. And when they went back that same way, the next morning, the tree had withered from the roots. And here's what he told them. In Mark 11, 22 through 24, have faith in God. If anyone says to this mountain, go through yourself into the, throw yourself into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says will happen, it will be done for him. Therefore, I tell you, whatsoever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. Hallelujah. The positive words. The affirming, the authority we have in Jesus Christ to be healed, How many of you believe in healing? Every hand should go up. Healing, the power of God. We see healing by the power of our words. I mean, this scripture shows us you don't just glibly say things, but it has to be backed up by faith. Sometimes people say, you know what, I'm going to be a millionaire. They laugh about it. Well, I'm going to be the president of the United States. They kind of laugh about it. Why? Why do we laugh about it? Because we don't really believe it. We don't think it's really going to happen. We don't have the discipline. We don't have the hard work. We don't have the preparation. We don't have the faith to believe. But somebody somewhere along the line that's been president of the United States had faith enough to believe and they became the president of the United States. Or maybe you told mom, hey, mom, guess what? I'm going to college. And then I'm going to be a teacher. And you see it happen. They follow pursuit. They take the steps. They become disciplined. They sign up for the classes. They study. They do everything it takes for it to happen. And you have to be consistent in what we say over a period of time. You cannot talk one way one day and talk the opposite the next day. Either you are or you are not, right? Either you are positive or you're negative. Either you will attract or you will not attract, right? One way or the other. During the Civil War, we're told of a soldier who was sympathetic on both sides. He's probably from Missouri, the compromising state. Missouri, if you know your history, was they had people who couldn't decide which side they wanted to be on in the Civil War. And so if you see it on their license plate, at least back when I lived in Missouri, that's what we had on our license plates. Show me. It was called the Show Me State. Show me. It was just one of those things that they did. But anyway, this guy couldn't decide, and so he compromises. He decides he's going to wear the Confederate gray coat, and he's going to wear the trousers of the Union Army. And so he doesn't know which side to be on. And so for a while, everything seemed fine until there's the heat of the battle. And guess what? At the heat of the battle, the Federal Army soldiers hit him in the coat. Hit him in the jacket. And of course, the Confederate soldiers hit him in the pants. I don't know. The guy needs to make his mind up, right? One way or another. Our words of faith and our words of self-talk have to match up if we expect to receive from God. Hello. Matthew 12:37 again. For by your words you shall be justified. By your words you shall be what? Condemned. So we need to work on retraining our self-talk to speak words that will bring fruit, to speak words that will bring harvest. And you have to stop and think about it and pause for a moment and say, I'm not on this side or this side. I'm on this side or this side. I'm either positive, I'm either affirming by my words, or I'm destroying by my words. Hello. Here's the second part to that, and that is, I believe, our words must include the measure of faith. How can our words change things for us? Romans 12:2, one of my favorite verses of Scripture. Do not conform any longer to the what? Pattern of this world, but be what? Transformed by the renewing of your mind. Things can change for us even when we feel that our Christianity doesn't work in the 21st century. There's times when we feel that way. It's not true, but we feel that way. And oftentimes when we're praying, we feel like our prayers are just not hitting the ceiling, we're not going anywhere, and we need to do something about it. There was an army sergeant who was caught on the beaches under Germany artillery fire. And in order to get rid of that fire and at him, he just plunged into the water. And as he's going down to the water, he's digging along, and he finds underneath a crucifix. And he grabs that crucifix and by his hand, and he's down there in that water for like 2 hours trying to stay away from the enemy. 2 hours later, a chaplain joins him, jumps into the water, and he says, man, I'm so glad to see you. I'm glad you're here. He says, how do you use this thing? Meaning the crucifix. I mean, can I tell you something? I've seen this in so many times, in so many ways. People will take a crucifix and think if they take a crucifix and look at that and pray over it, somehow it's going to bless them. Or we'll go like this. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Somehow it's going to transform what God's going to do in our life. I'm sorry, but that's not going to work. How many of you believe that? Christianity is not a magic formula where we punch a button or we make things happen by what we say or we're saying superficial words that have no substance to them. See, it won't hold up in the testing of waiting for an answer. It's never going to hold up. The scripture says he gives us principles to follow that will help us to develop our faith, and our prayers are answered by how we develop our faith. Hello. We will begin to see God's blessing come into our life simply because we are planting and we are planning for a good harvest of good fruit. Change is made with words. I begin to believe God. I begin to trust in God. I begin to put my confidence in God. Listen to me carefully. Abraham used words to bring things into existence. I love what Paul says, and this is a passage you might want to look at when you go home. In Romans chapter 4, particularly verse 17, says, he, meaning Abraham, called things that are not as though they were. He called things that were not as though they were. What does it mean to speak things into existence? How do you do it when you pray? How do you get your requests put into words? I think too often people pray the wrong way, begging God to do something. Too many times people pray weak prayers, and I'm going to be really honest with you. I've been like this in my past. Lord, if it's your will, God, you heal me. But I've learned from studying the Word of God, and the more you study and understand the Word of God, yes, there are some things that we pray that we don't understand, and we don't have anything, and we don't have a clue at what God really wants to do. We need to know the will of God. But there are some things in the Word of God that are specific, and healing is one of them. And these weak prayers are ineffective. We have to redefine our request and reframe our words. The power of speech puts a handle on all the things that we go through. We know that God has the answer to our needs, and we don't know how to bring in the spiritual realm into the material realm. If you want to see the spiritual realm work in the material realm in the everyday life, we have to speak the words of faith. Amen. Speak faith. Speak faith. My wife and I constantly, we're going to speak faith over our boys. We speak faith over our life. Speak faith over whatever it is that we're going through and the concern that we might have. You know what? I believe that families literally are cursed because they gripe and they complain and they moan and they grumble all the time. And sometimes our jobs, we're not blessed because we're groaning, moaning, and complaining. Hello. I'm talking to me. Speaking it out in faith starts with bringing it out to the realm, from the spiritual realm to the material realm. People say, oh, I just don't have any faith. Or, you know, that's not scriptural. We have been given the faith we need. Look at Romans 12, verse 3. He says, Romans 12, verse 3, every person has been given the measure of faith. He meets our needs with our words of faith. We don't need a boatload of faith to get the job done. Oh, I don't have enough faith. I need more faith. Luke 17:6. If you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and planted into the sea, and it will obey you. Did you hear that? It obeys your words. It obeys your words. You command it. You have the authority in Jesus' name to command the enemy to flee from you, for your mountain to be removed and cast into the sea. Hello? We have the faith. How do you speak to your mountain in faith? How do you call those things that are not as if they were? How do you do that? Identify your mountain. What is your mountain? Is it a health problem? Is it a financial need? Is it relationships to be restored? Is your mountain something that you know you can't move? Only God can move it by the power of your words. Hallelujah. Be cast into the sea in the name of Jesus Christ. We would see more miracles, more power in God's church. I believe that with all my heart. If we would say the words of faith and believe it. Amen. Believe it with all of our heart. A woman had a serious problem with her back pain. She could hardly even walk. She's begging God to heal her. She's not even sure if God really wants to heal her. She just starts doubting. A double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. She prayed, Lord, if it's your will. She just got worse and worse, and she began to speak it. I know sometimes we believe this as Pentecostals, but we don't act it out as Pentecostals. The Bible says, by his stripes we were healed. Hello. We were healed. It's already been done. It's completed. The cross of Jesus Christ has already completed. His death, burial, and resurrection has made it possible for us to be healed in the name of Jesus. Amen. Jesus went about healing all those who were sick and with disease. Amen. Yes. And so she rehearsed her prayer saying, my back pain, she reverses it in the name of Jesus. I take authority over you in the name of Jesus. You know why? She wasn't creating it. God already took care of it. He already created. Her words don't create the healing. Her words proclaim what she believes by faith. Hallelujah. We need to take the word by faith. We need to trust what it says and honor it, what it says. And God will honor his word. Amen. Wow. Do we believe right when we pray that we've received it? Do we believe that? That indicates that you're speaking in faith. Whether or not the symptoms are gone or not, and I'm not trying to be a prosperity guy. I'm telling you the honest truth. You know, we have to have what we don't see, what we don't feel. Faith has nothing to, you know, faith isn't something that you see and you feel and you sense. Faith is just, it's you believe it without even seeing it and understanding. Hebrews 11:1. By the way, the Bible says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. So the power of God is working in me, and I'm getting better every day. Pain's gone. In the name of Jesus, I pray, I believe in it. It's going to happen in Jesus' name. Praise God. Direct your faith with your words. Begin to thank the Lord for the answer in advance. Use your words to speak life instead of death. It might seem awkward at first, but let me tell you something. We need to learn to be positive people by the power of the Holy Spirit. I hear words like this. I'm sick. I'm tired. I'm broke. I'm poor. I'm a loser. We need to hear, I'm a child of God. He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and he's here to heal and restore and strengthen my spirit and my heart. I don't know about you, but I've said those words long enough, and I tell you, we need to say more positive words and affirm. I'm a believer, not a doubter. There's a little chorus that we used to sing. Some of you would remember this. We don't really sing it anymore. Got any rivers you think are uncrossable? Got any mountains you can't tunnel through? God specializes in things thought impossible. He will do for you what no other can do. Do we believe that? When we sing our songs, when we sing our worship, do we believe what we're singing? Do we honor what we're singing? Do we believe? Do we trust God? Fear is gone. Hallelujah. We've been singing songs like that a lot. You know, healing is here. Praise the Lord. We need to trust in those words that we're singing and believe them. Now, here's the second question I have for you today. How can you be sure to speak power into your life? How can you be sure to do that? I ran across a little story about how not to fill out an accident report taught by a driver's education teacher. And here's what he says. When filling out an accident report in the attempt to kill a fly, I drove into the telephone pole. Don't say, I thought my window was down, but I found out it was closed when I put my head through it. The guy that was all over the road, I had to swerve several times before I hit him. I had been driving for 40 years when I fell asleep at the wheel and had an accident, okay? An invisible car came out of nowhere, struck my car, and vanished. The indirect cause of the accident was a little guy in a small car with a big mouth caused my accident. I like that one the best. A little car, a little guy with a big mouth. Words that come out of our mouth are packed with power that can cause an accident or worse. Three of them, real quickly. These are three advices that I can give you today in helping you to process power in your life. Control your impulses and speak wisely. Control your impulses and speak wisely. Proverbs 12:18, reckless words pierce like a sword, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. An elderly man had serious hearing problems for a number of years, and his family went to get, said, you need to get hearing aids. My wife's been after me a little bit, huh? It's getting there. And you know, I'm getting tired of saying, acting like I know what they said when I didn't really hear them. That's not true. Just once in a while, I can't hear the whole thing, and I just, okay, whatever you said. Whatever, it's okay. Did I just confess something? That's pretty bad. Is my face all red? That's okay, that's the sun. I'm sorry. I don't know where that came from. Anyway, this elderly man needed hearing aids. And he finally gave in and got his hearing aids, and a month goes by, and everybody's really happy that he got his hearing. Well, everybody didn't really know about it, but anyway, he goes back to the doctor, and he says to the doctor, man, this is wonderful. The doctor says, you got 100% hearing back. Isn't it great? I bet your family's really happy. He says, no, I haven't told them yet. And he says, I haven't told him yet because I want you to know that I've changed my will 5 different times. Yeah. Recklessly spoken words inflict pain and suffering. Proverbs 12:18, reckless words pierce what? Like a sword. Our words have a power to turn healthy people into hurting people. There's also more subtle observations about people in our words that may affect. You see, reflectively or wisely spoken words bring healing to the already hurting. And we need to discern when the people are speaking that we're speaking to are already hurting or they're not. And you know what? Be very careful. Because when some people are nasty to you, it's because they're hurting. And it's easy to inflict hurting words on people who are nasty to you. What can you do to learn to speak wisely? Let me give you something really, really simple. Always ask God to help you guard your tongue. Set a guard over my mouth, Lord. Psalms 14:3, and keep watch over my door of my lips. Always think before you speak. Intelligent people think before they speak what they say. Always remember that your witness for Christ is on the line. Listen to me. Always remember that your witness for Christ is on the line. Those who consider themselves religious and yet do not keep a tight rein on their tongues deceive themselves, and their religion is worthless. James 1:26. We talked about that last week. How can you learn to ensnare and ensure your words are going to be words of healing? It's simple. You got to stop and think about it and pause and don't just jump to conclusions because you've been hurt and somehow you're going to lash back at them. Be careful of your reckless words. Number 2, conquer your bitterness and speak kindly. The tongue that brings healing is a tree of life, but a deceitful tongue crushes the spirit. Proverbs 15:4. What we say to others and how we say it is a reflection of what's on the inside of us. And again, I'm repeating from what I said last week. Healing words come from a healthy heart. The image in our text is likens the person who speak words of healing, a tree of life. The fruit of a healthy tree is good fruit. Hurtful words come out of hurtful hearts. Just as a sick tree grows sick fruit, people speak harmful words because they're sick. Angry people speak angry words. Bitter people speak bitter words. Critical people speak critical words. So what can we do to learn to speak kindly? Ephesians 4:31. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, and brawling, and slander, along with every form of malice. Think of your inner self as being either toxic or non-toxic. It's like your kidneys. Think in terms of your kidneys filtering waste. It is a process that takes place when you continue to circulate the toxic waste in your heart. Your heart can be a toxic place. So if you are serious about having healthy hearts and minds, you have to deal with the stuff that makes you sick. You have to deal with what makes you sick. This might mean that you have to start with forgiving someone who has hurt you, which is in our series of forgiveness that will come eventually. The Bible says, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with passion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances that you have against another. Forgive as the Lord forgives you. Colossians chapter 3. Accept whoever and whatever you can't change. And here's some of you have this in your kitchen, probably right on your stove or somewhere in a prominent place, the prayer of serenity. I've seen it over and over. It says, Lord, grant me the serenity to accept the things I can't change, and courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Infuse your life with the fruit of a Christ-like spirit. Oh my goodness. Here's what the Bible says, be or become kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as Christ forgave you, Ephesians 4:32, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, and let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Hallelujah. Simple, simple, quick stuff to understand. We've got to understand. We've got to nip it in the bud. Finally, correct your attitude and speak positively. Proverbs 16:24, pleasant words are a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and healing to the bones. You can buy honey that has been extracted from honeycombs. You can buy it pure. It'll put in jars or put in those little bears. You ever see those little squeezy bears and they put the honey in there? And you can buy it right on the shelves. But its rawest form comes in a shape of a comb, a honeycomb. And you see the honeycomb is designed and arranged in cells, and it's filled with nectar. Pleasant words are like a sweet honeycomb. It oozes from the cells. It oozes. You see, your words are a reflection of what's inside of you, just as honey is a reflection of what's inside a honeycomb. Don't you see that whatever enters the mouth goes into the stomach and then out of the body? But the things that come out of the mouth come from the heart, and those make a person unclean. For out of the heart comes evil thoughts, murmur, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, slander. Matthew 15:17-20. An award-winning film titled The Joy Luck Club, a little girl has the ability in that film to see the secrets of a chessboard. She becomes the national champ. Her gift enables her to know all these things that nobody else can figure out. But she's driven by a parent who's determined to use her daughter for self-gain. And she's trying to gain her own wealth and her own power through her daughter's ability. In one scene, the little girl dares to resist her mother's pressure for perfection and doing it all right. And her mother gives her the silent treatment. And then she says to her daughter, "You're nothing. You're nothing at all." That little girl described in her mind what those words meant. And she said this power I had, this belief in what I'd been given, I could actually feel draining away. I could feel myself becoming ordinary, and the best part of me disappeared. She was devastated. Scott Adams, the creator of Dilbert comic strips, tells the story of early days as a cartoonist. He said, "I was trying to become a syndicated cartoonist, and I was trying to do everything I could, and people were rejecting me. One lady brought something back, and she said, 'You need to learn how to draw. Take art lessons.'" He was devastated until one lady came to him, a great expert of all experts, called him and offered him a contract. At first, he didn't believe her, so he asked her, "Do you want me to change my style? Do you want me to learn how to do art? What do you want me to do?" And she says, "No, I think you already have a great talent. Give me what you have." And he said, "This may sound bizarre, but the minute I got off the phone with her, I could draw better, and there was a marked improvement in my work." Positive words. Two stories. One is the story of poison spewing from the heart of a bitter, manipulative stage mom. The other is a story of encouragement from a heart, from a young lady who understood and expanded this young man's horizons simply by the words she said. What can we do to learn to make our words have a positive impact on others? Examine your words. Ask God to give you a clean heart and a renewed spirit. Make the conscious effort to speak kindly to people. The psalmist prayed this, "Lord, create in me a clean heart, O God, renew a right spirit within me. O Lord, open my lips and my mouth will declare your praise." And I close with this story. Joseph Taluskin, author of Words That Hurt and Words That Heal, he lectures all through the country on the powerful thought of negative words and positive words. He often asks those in the audience if they can go 24 hours without saying any unkind word to another person. Some of them laugh. 24 hours? Not to say anything unkind about a person, or not to say anything unkind about anything? And he goes on to tell them, if you can't go 24 hours without a drink, you are addicted to alcohol. If you can't go 24 hours without smoking, you're addicted to nicotine. And if you can't go 24 hours without saying unkind words or saying unkind words about other people, then you have lost control of your tongue. It's a challenging proposition. It's challenging to all of us. I wonder if we can go 24 hours without saying one negative word about anything or about anyone. You know, for a lot of people, it's very difficult. They're addicted to a bad tongue, and they need healing. So Ephesians 4:29 simply says this, "Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen." So the Bible clearly tells us that our words must be action-oriented. We want to be healed. We want to be healed. We want to see God's blessing and best. We need a measure of faith. We must learn to speak power in our lives by speaking wisely, kindly, and positive to people around us. Wow. Now, I shared that this morning because I don't know what hit me on Monday morning, but something really hit me strong. And it didn't take me long to start working. And I have no idea why God has me. I have absolutely no idea. Because our church is doing fine. We're grateful. We're thankful. We have great people in our church. I have no idea why I am pushing this so much. But can I just tell you, if you want to see God's richest blessing on our church and in our community and the power of the Spirit working and operating in your life personally, you and I must come away from this series with this idea that, look, at everything I say matters. Matters. I'm going to skip communion today. We'll do it next week or some other time. I'm sorry, but I need to say this. Everything we say matters. And when we come to an altar to pray for the sick, it matters whether you believe or not. It matters when you talk to your coworkers what you say and how you say it. How you speak, words matter. You might mean well, but you better be careful how you say it. Because in one word, we can destroy a person's life. Those of you that teach in the school, and those of you that are part of the school system, those of you that understand what I'm talking about, you see it every day in the school system. I'm telling you, kids being bullied, people talking about people, drama going all over the place. Oh, you know, just, you know, it's easy to get sucked into that. Even as a teacher, it's easy to get sucked into that. You can get sucked into all kinds of drama. And at work, you can get sucked into the drama. But I'm asking you at Everett Assembly of God to set a standard in our community. Set a standard where you work. Set a standard in our church. Set a standard that nobody looks at Everett Assembly of God can say anything other than they are the most positive, blessed people I have ever seen. I love them. I enjoy being around them. I want to be around them because they are such positive and affirming people, and they make me feel really good. Really good. I've walked into so many churches over the years, and I'd want to go hide my head. One or two people say, hello, good morning, how are you? You go sit down and the whole place is like nobody knows you even exist. And then I've been in churches where they just flock you and flock you and flock you. I tell you, I'd rather be around the church where everybody's talking to you like you've been there forever than be a church where nobody, they ignore you, that you're even there. Now let me tell you, it is more important for our church. Yes, it's important to be friendly when they come in these walls. But our church needs to be super friendly when we're outside these walls. And affirming people's love and loving them. I mean loving them. Caring about them. Compassionate for them. And I have no idea why I'm saying this. I honestly don't. I don't know. Maybe I'm hitting somebody. I have no idea. All I know is this. I've been hurt personally tons of times by words that came out of people's mouths. And I've had to forgive people and get over it and move on. And you have had the same thing happen to you. And you know what? Just remember how you felt when somebody hurt you. Don't reciprocate what they gave to you. Make sure they know that you love Jesus. You love the Lord, and you're going to give them a positive affirmation. Hurting people hurt people. And they're hurting people, and they're hurting you because they hurt inside, and they need somebody to love on them. Love on them and show them Christ's love. And I guarantee you, if we have a positive spirit in our mind, in our heart, in our spirit, and we respond, I'm telling you right now, you will be fighting people to come into these doors. I think too often, too many churches have too many negative repercussions from all, I don't like this, I don't want that, I don't like this, he said this, she did that, on and on and on it goes. And when that kind of stuff happens, it destroys the church, it destroys the body of Christ. I have no idea why I'm saying all this. I'm just telling you, I want to make sure more than anything else that we reach these people in this community with a positive word. You love them, right? Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Praise God. Speak to our hearts, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I think it's very clear. I think the Lord has spoken to our hearts that every person in this room needs to have an altar before they go home, right where you're at, right where you are, and we need to submit to the Holy Spirit. I don't know who he's speaking to you. He might be speaking to you personally for something, and others, you might just be saying to you, please don't get involved in anything that might disrupt what you're already trying to do. I don't know what the Lord's saying, but I do know this. The world is full of negative people, negative thoughts. It's the church that needs to show them how to rethink and how to reprocess their brain. And only we can do that by the life that we share and live. So let me pray for you. Father, thank you for this beautiful congregation, these wonderful, marvelous people that love you. And we make an altar right where we are, and we submit to your word today. Lord, we don't understand. We don't always understand every detail of our life and why we go through the things we go through and why things can be difficult. It's so easy for us to get sucked into the world's mindset. And I pray that you would guard our hearts, guard our minds. And when we come across those who are gossiping or talking or sharing things that are not good or not honoring of you or an honoring of other people, I pray that we would not be participants, that we would show them that we're going to take the high road and that we are going to do everything we can to demonstrate the love of Jesus Christ. Help us to walk away from things that we need to walk away from. Help us to keep our minds pure and holy and righteous by staying in the Word and by praying diligently. And I ask, Lord, that we would just do the very simple things, and that is, God, just praying deliverance over our mind every single day, that we, Lord, would be able to see the goodness of the Lord and the blessings of God on our life because we have stayed away from that which is evil. Help us, Lord. Guard us for the glory of God. Bless your people abundantly. Bless every home, every household, Lord, and camp around them this week with your guardian angels and supply, Lord, their every need. And I pray, Lord, that we would believe for great and mighty things for the glory of God. We prayed in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Amen.